There we go. Hi, this is Peggy Van Skoik. Today is Wednesday, March 4th, 2009. I am in the home of Charlotte Phelps, and she's going to tell us today all of her memories about growing up in downtown Cary. And she grew up in the house that had the very famous historic tree right across from the Cary Elementary School, and sadly we're about to lose that tree, so we want to learn all we can about it as it's being cut down so that we can preserve the stories of the tree and also her life. So shall we start there with your memories of the tree?
Sure.
Okay.
That tree was a special tree to me for many reasons, and we played in that tree. We had a tree house in that tree, and it was actually, we had some electricity there, and we had a rope, and the rope was the only way you could get up to the tree house. So if there was someone we didn't want up there when we were playing, we just pulled the rope up so they couldn't get up. And we had many fond times playing in that treehouse. And my brothers, I had two brothers, one who is now deceased, named Ed, and my other brother, Jim. And we all played in the treehouse at various times, but we especially played in it, you know, I did, and my friends. And that oak tree was just a great place to play. Sometimes we just climbed up and sat in the limbs of the tree, and we could sit there and read a book or, you know, just have fun, hang out. And my mother, Otelia Lancaster, wrote a poem about that tree, and I hope to get to Peggy a copy of that poem.
Oh, I hope you do too.
And it was written, and it was about a man praying under the big oak tree. Oh. And it was just a beautiful poem. And so that whole area back there where Dr. Hunter lived two doors down from us, and his property connected with our property, and he had a pond back there. And when I was growing up, we would play back there, and we would fish, and my two brothers decided one day that they were going to throw me into the pond, told me to sink or swim. And I didn't think that was too funny, but they finally threw me an inner tube so I could get out.
How deep was this pond?
It was a pretty deep pond.
Uh-oh.
And so I went home soaking wet, and my mom was not too happy with them, but anyway, they thought it was really funny. Just like when they'd take us back down in the woods and told us we were going snipe hunting and to carry a bag and a flashlight. And so I did that and stood back there. They said, you have to stay a long time. You have to wait. And finally, I realized it was a big joke. So I came home. Again, my mom wasn't too pleased about that either, because she didn't know where I was. And they carried me off snipe hunting. But anyway, that was just part of being a child. When I played, there was mostly boys around the area to begin with. And Charles Adams, who most of you know, but the Athletic Association director, he lived across the street. Jackie Hunter lived, of course, that was Dr. Hunter's son, and he lived two doors down. And Johnny Upchurch lived to the left of us. And so I played football with the boys. And Dr. Hunter used to come by and tell my mother, I was the quarterback, he used to come by and tell my mother that I was going to get hurt really bad playing football. But I never did. And we also played kick the can. We had a lot of fun. That was a great pastime, playing kick the can and hiding. But there were other people that eventually moved in, and young girls, and so I had some girls I could play with.
Good.
But when I moved here, right before I started first grade, Irma Ellis, who lived in downtown Cary, was my first grade teacher. And Mrs. Fox before she married was Miss Kathy. And she was my second grade teacher. And she married Mr. Fox after his wife died and lived up there on Chatham Street where you know, next to the, near the railroad tracks. Yeah. And Reedy Creek Road at that corner, that's where she lived. And then Mrs. Williams lived in the Teetridge, and she was my third grade teacher. And then Margaret Jordan, who was, she used to live on Chatham Street as well. And she was my fourth grade teacher. And Mrs. Maynard, who lived on Kildare Farm Road, was my fifth grade teacher. And so they were all, had lived in Cary, you know, for quite some time. And I was, you know, right there at the school, so I had no, hardly anywhere to travel. But all these people were very interesting teachers, and each had their special little unique thing that you remembered about them. And I know Mrs. Williams one day was going down the street. She had a wig. And we were sitting on the porch, and it was a real windy day.
Oh, no.
And it actually blew her wig off, and she was chasing it. And I won't ever forget that. But maybe I shouldn't be telling that. But anyway, that's part of my history, so I remember it. And the Teetridge, there were a lot of... Simon Terrell lived over there in the Teetridge, mm-hmm. as well as Dot Alexander, who lives here now. She was Dot Stale at the time, before she married her husband, and they've lived in Cary for years, and were members of First Baptist as well. And Mrs. Smith, who had a daughter and a son, and she taught Spanish in high school, and I played with her daughter, Pat. And when Dot was dating Bunk Alexander, we would see them go into the car, and we'd always go up to Dot's room after the next day to find out all about how her date went with him. It was so funny. And then there was the Lorenzos lived over there, who had a daughter named Billy Ann. And we played with her, and we played all around the school and various places. And we used to like to walk up, you know, all over town. And back then, people could walk all over town. When I first moved here, there was a movie theater down there where the auto parts place is. And so we could go to the movie and, you know, get popcorn and whatever for less than you could even buy soda now.
Wow.
But on the corner where the appliance place is now, that was a grocery store. And I'm sure you probably already have that in your history. But we used to, my dad was an electrician by trade. And so he worked in various people's homes. He started the first automatic, when you could come in your door, was the remote control lights.
Yeah.
And Mr. Hobby had the first one in town.
Oh.
And he wired Mr. Maxwell, whom he later worked for at Maxwell Insecticide Company. He did his home. And he made a little board where all the little lights would light up the different switches. So from any room, like in his bedroom, there was a master control. He could turn on any light in the house from that room. So, and when he came into his garage, he could automatically turn on every light in the house if he wanted to, or he could turn on a single light. So we played with the lights, because that little board that he had designed it with, we played with that. So that was great fun. And he actually had a little stove that I had for Christmas one year, and it was a real electric stove. And so my mother used to make little tiny biscuits, and I had a little tiny pot. And she'd give me navy beans, and we'd cook the navy beans in the pot and use the oven and cook the little biscuits. And my friends and I had tea parties with the, and with the biscuits. It was a different kind of tea party than you have now. But that was our tea party. We had something to drink in the little cups. And most of the time it was either milk or something of that sort.
Now,
or
was
some
this,
kind of juice.
Was this in the treehouse?
No.
No.
At that time it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
So we had it up there one time.
You did have the oven in the treehouse.
But we didn't have it so that we could cook in that actual oven in the treehouse itself.
Oh, okay.
We could have, but at the time we didn't. We just played up there. But when we had it in the house is when we actually used it and it worked. And I guess it would have put too much of a strain on the one light switch and stuff that we had up in the treehouse.
Yeah.
So
that was mostly just for the light bulb in your treehouse.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but your father rigged that up for
right.
you.
Uh-huh.
How big was the treehouse?
It was a fairly good-sized treehouse. It was big enough for us to get up in, several people to get up there and be in there at the same time.
Fun.
So it was, you know, he had fixed it, and it was just a neat little place. And we could all sit down and tell ghost stories or whatever we wanted to.
So it was a rope ladder kind of thing that you, or just a rope with knots?
Single strand of rope.
So you had a hand over hand?
You had to shin your way up.
Wow.
And that was the only way you get up.
Wow.
So it was just, you know, you really had to want to get up there.
Yeah.
To be able to do it, but we had fun. So we had, I know most of Cary, when I came here, there was, you know, Chatham Street and Academy Street and a few, like Kildare Farm Road, and a big part of that was, you know, not paved. Mm. So right around the elementary school it was. And the old school building that I had 5th, 6th, and 7th, and 8th grade in is no longer there, as well as the Teachridge, you know, was torn down. Mm. Years ago, and the cannery, there was a cannery there. People used to go up there and can their summer vegetables and things. It was really interesting to.
So, were they actually the food they brought to can, was it put into jars, or was it actually put into cans, like the kind of cans?
Well, it was actually put
today.
Into jars into a can.
It was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So in a tin can that was sealed.
Well, it wasn't tin. It was a jar, but it was a big old pot. It was like a big old tin pot.
Oh, okay.
You know, a cooking pot.
Oh, okay.
And that was that there, and of course that was part of the gym was connected to that, I think, best I can remember. And they later tore all that down and built a new gym. Mm. And that's where the band met and so forth. And when Mr. Caponella was the band director, I think I was probably in the maybe fourth or fifth grade. And he had junior majorettes, and I was one. And so for a long time I had my outfit, but I don't have it anymore. I had my baton and all my my hat and everything. We actually had a little uniform.
Oh, fun.
And occasionally they would have a parade down the street, you know, doing school hours. It was fun.
Oh, bad.
And then Mrs. Adams across the street, that Mr. Adams owned the drugstore, and then Mitchell's owned the other drugstore that was eventually, that wasn't even there when we moved here. But it was it later was made into a drugstore.
So now, did you move to Cary from somewhere else?
Anger.
Oh, from Anger. Mm-hmm. Okay. When did you move here? Do you remember what year it was?
It was right before I started first grade, so.
Oh, okay.
I was still 5. Well, no, I'd probably turned 6 because it was right before I started to school. So okay. I was already 6 years old.
Oh, okay.
Because my birthday's in June.
Okay.
But I was born in Anger.
Oh, okay.
And so we moved here. My dad had a business in Anger and also did electrical work there.
Okay.
He did a lot of work at Fort Bragg, too.
Okay.
So then we moved here and we bought that house that I lived in, which had a huge front porch, and we could sit on the front porch and watch people go by. And then there was a sunroom, and we had a big swing on the front porch. And I know those teachers used to stop by when they were leaving school and talk to my mother. And because they all admired her flowers, she had lots of flowers. Mm. And one of the state horticulturists came over one day to see her flowers. He'd heard about them. And she had a huge row of tulips, parrot tulips and regular tulips. And he wanted to know what she did to her tulips to get them to be that big. And she said that was her military secret. So she was quite a character. Just about everybody in town knew my mother and daddy. Yeah. Oh, but he often helped other people. And I know one Christmas, I can remember very well, we went to this lady's house who lived over on North Academy Street. Her husband was in prison for stealing. He was trying to steal food for the family. And she had called my dad, her stove was out. She had no way to cook. And we went over there and I went with him. I was his sidekick part of the time. So I went with him to help get his tools out and things. And when we got through, he had asked the lady that what was she gonna do about Christmas after she fixed the stove. She wondered how much she owed him. He said nothing, because he knew she didn't have any money. And she said, well, I will pay you if you ever need any help, you know, for any reason. And he said, well, he appreciate that. So he asked about each one of the children, what size clothes they wore and things like that. So there used to be a Ken Ben uptown, and that was where, next to Ashworth's drugstore, where what Ashworth is now is Adams. And so we went there and we bought each one of them something to wear and each one of them something to play with. Mm-hmm. And we took it back to them, and those little kids were so excited. They hid the toys under the bed because they were so afraid somebody was going to take them away from them. Oh. But not only that, we went to the grocery store. My dad bought her ham and a turkey and everything she needed, flour, sugar, to cook with.
Oh.
And tears, when we left, the tears were just streaming down her face. Mm-hmm. And later, when my mother was sick, she came up and helped my dad clean the house up.
Oh.
And so she never forgot. Mm-hmm. But he would often go do things for people and say, if the ox is in the ditch, then you need to get them out. And so he would help people a lot and never charge for it.
Oh.
That he helped. Well, there used to be a dairy here back in where we are, where I'm living. That old barn up there was part of the dairy.
Oh.
And he helped wire parts of that dairy. And he worked on the dairy where Mr. Kiesler ran for Pine State.
So the Kildare Farm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And Mr. Kiesler's daughter and I were good friends in high school, and I used to go spend the night there. And enjoyed seeing all the cattle and, you know, watching them milk the cows and things like that. And then Charlene, another girl who was in my class, she was an assistant. Her father was. And so he worked on the dairy too. So I used to go out there quite a bit. And we had, you know, people knew people back then different from what they do now. Now hardly people know their neighbors sometimes. But you knew just about everybody in town. And they knew you. So you had to watch what you were doing or else you'd get reported. But knowing something you weren't supposed to.
Well, what do you remember about the Kildare Farm itself, other than milking cows? Were there a lot of cows? And
oh yeah, there was.
Was it done by hand or a machine? Or?
Well, to begin with, it was a lot of them were done by hand, but then they got the machines in.
Okay.
And it was a big place.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. And of course, the Kiesler's home was moved from the property after they built. Farmington Woods.
Yes.
It was all back in that area when all that shopping center went in. All that was moved in the big barn.
Yeah.
All that was moved.
Oh, okay.
From the present location to where it is now.
Oh, okay.
And But all that whole road back in there was just, there were a few residential homes back in there. But mostly it was just open woods.
Wow.
And I know I had visited one of my friends one night and I came back home. And as I was coming home, there was a whole bunch of little pigs. And they just ran out in front of me. And I thought, oh no, I'm going to kill these little pigs. But fortunately, they scattered. But my foot was shaking so bad, I could hardly drive home. But that was just, you know, mostly just farmland.
Wow. It's hard to imagine now.
And so was Walnut Street.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The Maynards had lived out there, too. Where the mall part is now, they mm-hmm. live next to that part, and back in there, all that was their land. Mm-hmm. And they had, I know they had a garden. I don't remember how, I know they had a garden for themselves. I know they sold, if I can remember correctly, vegetables to other people.
Hmm.
So that's all that was back in there. And same thing, you know, 1010 Road and Penny Road and all that. That was just woods.
Wow.
And it wasn't paved. There was a lot of sections. The development across from the elementary school wasn't there.
Yeah.
And the Black Cemetery, I know we used to go walking down back in there. Yeah. And the Black Cemetery was before, you know, it's off of Kildare Farm Road, but it was before you got to the other cemetery in Cary.
Oh, okay.
And
was it near the Black Church that was back there, or was it just by
itself?
Yeah,
it was near there. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that was a small little church, the best I can remember.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. But I know when we were Girl Scouts, we went over to the cemetery as part of a group one night. And then they were telling ghost stories and things, and some of those people got so scared. They were ready to leave.
How cute.
But even back off of 54, you know, most of that was woods. There were some homes back in there where the Bergassers lived. She was in a troop that I was in with the scouts. And I know once we had camped out, and then we went on a hiking trail over there, and we came upon some people making homemade booze.
Really?
Yes. And they, you know, we saw them, they were sitting there, and they had their little cookers going and everything. And so we turned around and started running, and they were coming after us, and we were really scared. But we got back to the road, to the cars that we were in, and we reported it. I don't know, I guess the law enforcement went down and I guess they got rid of it. But they were actually back in the woods making moonshine. Because people, you know, bought moonshine back then. So they were right over there, right off of 54 making it.
Wow.
That was another scary thing. Because we didn't know what they were going to do.
Yeah. It's incredible.
But Alice Batts, who lived on Harrison Street, she was our troop leader. And we actually went to Williamsburg on a trip. We saved money and sold things, and we went up there, all the little scout troop that I was in. And that was, we had a lot of fun. She was a great scout leader. And her sister had several sons, and these, one of them was in my brother's age group, younger brother, middle brother. I was the youngest and he was in the middle. And so I can remember Don coming up and playing with him. And there was a lady in town who they would call and ask her if her refrigerator was running or her clock running. And I just had more fun talking to that lady. And I'm sure she wanted to kill him, calling her up. Your clock running. Well, you better go get it. Things like that.
It was the same woman that they called all the time.
And they'd call her up and say, is Hattie there? And she'd say, Hattie. And they'd say, Hattie call. Okay. And we'll tell her arthritis is on the phone. Just stuff like that. They were so funny. But they didn't do that when my mother was home. She wouldn't really. And there was a lady who lived. Dr. Hunter would always tell my mother when somebody was sick. And if they needed some help, he'd call my mother up and say, well, so-and-so needs some help, and I know you wouldn't mind doing that. But this lady had cancer. Mm-hmm. And my mother would fix meals for her and carry to her. We did that until that lady died.
Aww.
I can remember that. She was a real sweet little woman and lived back up there off of Kildare Farm Road in a little tiny house.
So the doctors actually alerted the community when somebody needed help. Mm-hmm. And they knew who to go to within the community that mm-hmm. would be willing to help. And mm-hmm. everybody, neighbor taking care of neighbor.
Right.
How wonderful.
They did.
That's just
and
great.
I know the Adams is, one of their family members lived on Harrison Street at the time. But she became, with the Rogers, and she became sick. And my mother took food over to her. She took food everywhere. She just, you know, she cooked all the time. She cooked 3 meals a day. We didn't have any sandwiches at our house. So, she was just, that was just, you know, part of what she did. She liked to cook. And she was a very good cook.
That's great.
And my brother would bring home his friends from school. Occasionally I'd bring home somebody too, but he brought home more people than I did. So we used to tease my brother about, my older brother and I would tease him about, he was had blue eyes and the rest of us had brown. And we told him he was adopted. We shouldn't have done that, but we did, because he would tell us that, you know, get after us about something. He was the brain in the family. And he was the president of his class.
Wow.
When he graduated, and he went on to, he had mono. He was going to be appointed to the Air Force Academy. It had already been arranged, and the senator or representative, whoever, but he got sick with mono. And by the time he was getting over that, he was beyond the age that they appoint somebody.
Oh.
So he ended up going to state, but the mono was so severe. He had to drop out, but then he went into the Air Force. He was the last captain, promoted to captain, that did not have a college degree.
Oh.
But he ended up retiring as a full colonel.
Wow.
In the Air Force.
Wow.
So he stayed in for it. He loved it.
That's
he flew
great.
C-130s.
Wow.
So he went to pilot school and everything. But he just flew all over and went all over.
Did he get caught in any of the wars or anything?
He was actually flew C-130s over to Vietnam.
He did.
Mm-hmm. But he didn't. He was over there for about 6 months at the time. But he didn't stay like some of them had to. Yeah. I know one time he came back. He really didn't want to talk about it. But he was over there one Christmas, mm-hmm. and he said he'd gone down. I think it was in Saigon. And there was this little girl looking in the window at dolls, and he saw her. And so he pointed to the doll and pointed to her. And I guess she wasn't sure, you know, what he meant. So he went in and got the doll and came out and gave it to her. And he said she just went screaming through the street.
Aww.
He said it just really brought tears to his eyes because that little girl was so happy. So excited. So he would talk about things like that, but he said there was actually kids who were throwing grenades. A man got killed that in one of the officers, it was, I don't know if it was the embassy over there, somewhere they were there, and this kid came in and threw a grenade and killed this one officer. So he said, you never knew who your enemy was over there. And they'd be Viet Cong by night and Vietnamese by day. So you didn't ever know who your enemy was. You had to be totally alert at all times. It was a very difficult war, he said. But he would not talk about it other than that. But there were so many people who came back from that war and just, you know, were really troubled. I can imagine anywhere. I can't imagine the Rock War, people going over and seeing all those people and their buddies and friends. How could that not do something to you?
Yeah.
War's a terrible thing.
Yes, it is.
So I wish they could find some way to have peace over there in that area, but those people have been at war for so long, I don't think they know any other way of life. Mm. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
We as Americans don't know how lucky we are or how blessed we are.
That's true.
We really don't. We take so much for granted. And we don't appreciate things in the manner that we should.
So here you were growing up in this wonderful, close-knit community where everybody looked out for everybody else. And, you know, and so things have changed.
Yes,
things
have
changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So
this town has changed a lot.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Quite a bit. Because, like I said, we used to walk the streets of Cary all over, you know, never fearful.
Yeah.
We walked the streets in the rain. We walked the streets in the sunshine. I mean, it was just, if you wanted to go somewhere, you walked. You didn't have cars as teenagers. Not many people had cars.
Yeah.
So, and I used to stay with Mrs. Jones, who lived on the corner. That was Jean Hobby. That was her grandmother.
Oh,
and I would stay with her some at night. And I will never forget one night, I thought she was going to die on me because she was breathing, you know, hard. And I thought, I'm going to be here by myself and this woman's going to die. And she all of a sudden said she had to go make water. And I thought she was going to boil some water. And she was talking about going to the bathroom. I won't ever forget that. But fortunately for me, she didn't ever pass away on me. Later, they had someone who came and stayed with her.
Oh, that's good.
But I stayed with her some at night until they could find somebody to stay.
Oh.
And the little, across the, with the Adams, they lived on the corner, the Adamses were in the next brick house, and then in the house where the Hills lived later, that was the Methodist parsonage.
Oh, okay.
And so, one of the ministers there, his little girl played. We babysat with her, and she played. She was a doozy. But we enjoyed that family so much. We didn't have to babysit. And then there was a big old house, kind of where the library is now. And I can't remember their last name, Pauline. Anyway, she was Dr. Yarber's nurse. And then she ended up later marrying Dr. Yarber.
Oh, okay.
And then Miss Templeton, well, as you're going on down the street, Esther Ivy was just a world of knowledge about everything. And she was interested in the gourds. And she got my mom and daddy involved in the gourd club. And so I went with them to these meetings, and my dad made a lot of lamps out of gourds and different things. And they used to have this gourd, I think they still have the gourd convention, where they display all the gourds. But it was different from what it was back then.
Now, and didn't he use special tools, hand tools, or power tools? How did he carve up and make things out of the gourds? Do you remember?
He actually used some type of knife. He
did a knife. Mm-hmm. Oh,
and carved it. He
oh,
would
wow.
very carefully cut them when he made the initial cut.
Uh huh.
And then he'd get all the lining out. And Miss Esther made a lot of things, beautiful things out of gourds. But I know one time I made a doll. That was the ugliest doll you have ever seen in your life. But I made it. She had big old eyes, and her mouth went from the front to all the way to her ears. But that was my ugly doll out of a gourd. That was so funny. But she was in the gourd show when my daddy took her to the gourd show.
Oh, that's great. And it, now, did your dad display any of his work at the gourd show?
Mm-hmm.
He did,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did they award prizes, or?
I think back then they did.
Yeah.
You know, as to who had, we used to, I'm trying to think of those people's names, because Miss Irma Ellis lived with them, and that's where we went, the Rays. They lived down there on the corner of Harrison in a big old house. That was torn down, hadn't been too many years ago that house was torn down.
Hmm.
But that's where we had a lot of the meetings and things.
Oh.
And then Miss Esther had this plant, was it called a night bloom in Syria? And she gave me one, and it blooms only one time a year at night. It blooms about midnight. It has the most wonderful smell, but it shoots out this long limb. And on the end of that limb, it really looks like a big Easter lily, kind of. It was a lily. But you could smell it days before it ever opened up. And we would watch it. And then when my brother died suddenly, I was over at my mother's so much, I forgot to water it. And it eventually died. But her niece lived in the house that's still there, and she had one, and I happened to call her one day to see if she still had it. She said, well, you won't believe it. I just put it on the street, and some man came and asked me if I knew what I had put on the street, and I said, yes, I just was tired of it, and so he got it. But you can't find them. They're so hard to find. People don't know what they are. If you say a night bloom in Syria, they don't know what you're talking about. There was a lady in Raleigh that someone said, one of my customers said she had, and she was going to try to get me a piece of it. The woman had promised her some, but apparently she didn't ever get any. But I would love to get one sometime. It's a beautiful plant.
Not bad. What, is it a color, the blue?
White.
Just a white, mm-hmm. A white lily. Mm-hmm. Pretty.
But we watched it bloom out on the carport. But you, like I said, you could smell it for days. And you knew it was going to bloom.
Yeah.
But it opened up. And just that one time it bloomed, that one time.
And then it would close up again by morning? Or?
It actually would stay open. But it didn't bloom until night.
Okay.
And I guess that's how it got the name Night Bloom in Syria. But
yeah.
I've even looked on the internet for them. I haven't been able to find one.
Oh, darn.
And if you call a garden center, they don't know what you're talking about. But she had a lot of unique plants. She liked plants and flowers, so did my mother and daddy. So those, I've got big camellia bushes in the backyard that my daddy started from a seed. Mm. And then I had a peach tree over on the side of the house that he started for. She gave me two peach trees, one for Sherry and one for Marcy. And the Marcy's is still in the backyard. And the one over here, a neighbor planted a pine tree next to it. And I think that's what killed it. It just sucked all the water from it. So, it was just, and my dad was a Sunday school teacher at First Baptist Church for, I think it was like 42 years.
Wow.
And he was a deacon, but he also helped start the first missionary house for our church. And he met a lot of the missionaries and corresponded with them. And they came to see him. They sent my mother a beautiful collar one of them had made. And they were over in the Philippines. So they got to meet a lot of interesting people that way. Now, she doesn't care for you to come in here to entertain her.
Oh. A beautiful little cat just walked in. Aren't you beautiful? Look at those big eyes. I'll just ignore her and she can check me out.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't usually come around with somebody she doesn't know.
Well, she must know I love cats. Hi. Yeah, she's coming right to me.
Yeah, they know who likes them.
Yeah, that's great. And you were telling me on the phone before we met that you had some interesting and unusual pets when you were a kid.
Yes, actually.
Tell me about this.
Jackie Hunter had a little ringtail monkey. And for some reason, I don't know if his mother didn't want him to have it anymore or whatever, he gave it to my older brother. And so his name was Bobo. And we had him for quite a few years. And he loved grapes. And he loved Pepsi Cola. If you gave him a Pepsi Cola, he would chug-a-lug that Pepsi and then throw it down, because it was bottled then, not like the cans you get now. And he'd reach out for another one. He wanted another one. So we had to watch that. But he had a combination lock on his cage. And one night, I had put him up, because we were getting ready to have dinner, and he beat me back to the table. And I thought, I know I locked that cage. How did you get out? And I happened to put him back in, and again he went running right past me to my chair. So I took him back in there, and there was a wall separating where he was and the dining room. So I stood behind the wall and watched him, and he pulled the combination lock up to his ear and turned it. And we heard it click, he reversed it and heard it click again, out he came. So we had to change locks often. That was a smart little monkey.
I guess so.
And I know one day this lady came to see my dad about doing some work, repairing some appliances or something for her. And that monkey was out, and he loved it when people were afraid of him, evidently. That just tickled him. And he was jumping up and down in front of her and swinging on the curtains, and that lady was scared to death. And I was trying to chase him and get him out of there, and he was just swinging from the curtains, and he would laugh. He'd look at you, just laugh. And so I chased him into my bedroom, and he was jumping up and down on my bed doing flips. He was hilarious.
How big was he?
He was about this tall.
About a foot, mm-hmm. foot tall.
And I could put him in a carriage. And I had a little pillow to dress him up, and he would lay down in that little carriage, and I'd give him a little bottle of milk, and he would drink that milk and lay back there on that pillow just like he was a baby. And we rolled him up and down the street, and then one day some friends and I got this bright idea to let him hold a can to see if we walked down the street with him and to see if anybody put any money in it, because we didn't have that little musical thing for him to play. But he'd hold out his little hand and they'd put some money in there, and we got enough money to go to get some drinks and a candy bar. And we thought that was fantastic.
I bet.
But we didn't do it every day because we thought, well, they'll know what we're doing now. But that little monkey was a hoot.
I guess. So now how long did you have him?
Till I went off to college.
Wow.
And so we had him quite a while.
Wow. Yeah.
But he was hilarious.
Now, did he eventually die, or what happened to
him? No, we actually gave him back to Jackie when I left. My mother said she wasn't looking after the monkey. But he loved bananas. He'd peel a banana and eat it and just stuff it right down. And grapes. It was funny him eating grapes, but he did not like glasses. I did not wear glasses at the time. But a friend of my brother, Mr. Franklin, who owned the other drugstore, his son came over and he snatched his glasses off and was stomping up and down on them. And we got him out of the cage, but he just didn't like glasses. I guess he could see himself in a reflection, and that's why he didn't like them. But he was quite a character.
I guess so.
All my friends loved him. They'd come over there to see the monkey. And my brother-in-law now has a monkey named Cassie. And she is about this tall.
Oh, she's like 2 or 3 feet
and
tall.
And she wears a dress. And when Marshall was in the hospital, we had a picture of her. And we would, when the nurses would come in, they'd say, oh, you've got a picture. He said, yeah, that's my niece. And you could, And at first, you know, from a distance, they saw the dress and everything and thought it was a real picture of a person. And they'd get over there, and if you could see the expressions on their faces, that's your niece. He'd say, yeah, that's Kathy. But you don't call her a monkey.
Oh.
She has her own room, her own play toys.
Wow.
She's just like a human being to them.
Yeah.
Oh, but her name is Cassie.
Oh, cute. Now, didn't you say something about a black pig?
Yeah, my brother had a black pig named Oink.
Oink. Now, is that unusual, or a black pigs? That is...
Well, it wasn't for us. It was just a pig that we brought home from my aunt's. You know, they had some, she had some fowls, and they had pigs, and we thought he was cute, and we